morning, everybody. How are we doing today? Good. You guys awake? Yeah? Great. I am so happy to be back. I was here in body last Sunday, but only in body. My mind was still very asleep. My wife and I took a trip to Italy for about 11 days, I believe. It was the longest time away from our kids that we've ever had. Yeah, it was great. It was a good time. Kind of think I could get into the habit of that. It was enjoyable. But we got back at about 11:30 on Saturday night before service here, which for us, we had fully made the time zone change. For us, it was about 5:30 in the morning is what we were feeling. And we were feeling it. So as of tomorrow, I am declaring I will be fully back into the rhythm of sleep. It has been an interesting experience. But it was worth it. Man, we started in Rome, made our way up to Florence, and then while we were in Florence, we did a few, kind of a day trip through some villages that were surrounding the Florence area through Tuscany, and then ended in Venice with just a really relaxing time. Had a lot of good food. Went to all the places that the tourists don't go. I was very adamant to ask our taxi drivers, where does he go after work? And all the places that are not, charging double for the dumb tourists like myself. And it was just amazing, amazing food, amazing time. But what I was honestly was most, I think, inspired by was the heritage that this nation has. Like, we were walking in places, we went and we visited the Vatican, and we were right next to the area where Peter was martyred. We went by the prison where Paul was kept when he wrote the book of Timothy. We were sitting, and as we woke up in the morning, we sat and we read through Romans together, and just the reality of the Bible came alive when we were in this place. And what was interesting about it is that in Italy, it's not like, there's this book with some words on it, but it is so integrated into the culture, into daily life. The reality of Scripture is absolutely everywhere, and people are constantly trying to display the nature and the glory of God through art and architecture in that nation. We went to one area in Venice where the parliament, or the, I think they called them actually Congress, where the Congress sat, and painted behind where the ruler of Venice would sit was this beautiful picture of Jesus. And it was like this integration of kingdom and earth actually happened in a very tangible, real way throughout that country. You know, Max's message last week when he spoke, he talked about heaven coming to earth. What's going on? My wire's distracting? Carry on, everybody, if you want to just, if you would greet your neighbor. I've got a wife situation, a wife and a mother situation happening up in the front row here. Welcome to my life. You all just had a little glimmer of what it's like. My wife and my mother are the two people that I'm here leading the church with. So. Wasn't that nice? Oh, do I need to turn around? As you can notice by my profile here, I definitely ate a lot of pizza while I was in Italy. And so what we were really trying to do is show you how to gain weight on vacation. Notice I have a new shirt it is black. I wore sleeves on this black shirt. I thought I'd switch it up a little bit, but I had to. Now it's pulling. Okay. All right. Now y'all just are screwing up. I'm about to grab the handheld here in a second. All right. Back at it. Where was I? So, all the food. I don't think I was talking about food, but you're still stuck on the food was a few minutes ago. Are you thinking about pizza right now? The integration of the kingdom into the culture of the nation. Last week, that's what it was. Max's message last week. He talked about the original intent of humanity was that we are to bring heaven to earth, that we have been planted in a place of chaos. In the beginning, the earth was formless and without void, and he planted people to carry his kingdom. He put a garden here in this chaotic world and told you and I to go to that garden, to tend it, to keep that garden, to spread it across the globe. It's literally to take heaven and bring it to earth, to take this chaotic world that we live in and bring the order of heaven through love, joy, peace, through hope, through faithfulness, through forgiveness in everything that we do. And what I was so inspired by was these people that were in Italy, specifically in the Florence area, were living outside of the time period that they were alive. Like, these were men that had really revolutionized, especially in art, the way that we do life through art. I went through one gallery, and we were standing and looking at a picture, and looks like a normal picture to me. I'm not an art buff by any means. So I'm like, yep, that one has paint on it, kind of like that one, and that one looks like it's got paint as well. Very good job, everybody. You painted them well. But we're standing in front of one of the paintings, and the tour guide said, notice something that's different about this. And that paint is a little darker than that paint, is what I'm seeing here. You know what? The people are different in this. And she said, no, look, this is the first painting in history that was actually painted with a new technique of perspective. Every other painting in the gallery was two-dimensional. It was, everybody was flat. There was no perspective in the painting. There was no depth that was taking place in the painting. And then we turned the corner and went into another room. They said, look, this is the first violin that was ever created. And then we walk into another room and said, look, this is where the person that invented the piano, this was his piano. He took these two instruments and put them together to create a piano. And there were these people that were thinking outside of the time period that they were alive. And then we go into another room, and standing at the end of this huge gallery is this beautiful sculpture of David that was sculpted by Michelangelo. And she starts telling the stories of Michelangelo, and we're walking through this gallery, and it's all of these huge marble blocks that are halfway finished. Apparently, he only finished, I can't remember the exact number, but let's say it's like a tenth of the stuff that he started, a man after my own heart. He was living in a way that was not normal for the culture that he was alive in. He actually wasn't very liked, and many of the artists at that time were not actually very liked by the people. See, Michelangelo was a sculptor, but then the Pope asked him to come and to paint the Sistine Chapel at the Vatican. But he wasn't a painter. He actually didn't even enjoy painting, and now he painted this beautiful picture that we've all seen of God and man pointing to each other. This is a man that was living outside of the time period that he was in and was not consumed with the norm of what culture said art is supposed to look like. And see, what I believe is I actually think that there are people that are in this room that are born in this time but are meant to live outside of this time that we are in. Because we are ambassadors of heaven, that means we are not bound by the culture, the way of doing things here on this earth. We are actually bound by the laws of heaven. And like Max said last week, our purpose is to bring heaven and actually bring it to earth. But in order for us to do that, we need the voice of the Lord to be louder than the voice of the world. You see, in order for us to actually live in with a heaven perspective, we need to be really comfortable with being uncomfortable. We need to be okay with following the voice of Jesus more than the voice of our greatest critics. You see, these people that have actually changed the world were not so consumed with the time that they lived in, but they saw a picture in their mind. They saw something that hadn't been created yet and took that and created it into this life. And I believe that each and every person in this room is called to do just that. You see, we're in this world that has chaos, but the goal is not to become like the world, to be relevant for the world's sake. What is that to change then? The goal is to bring heaven, to actually bring order to the chaotic world that we're living in. Amen. My daughter, before I went on this trip, she was talking to me
my oldest daughter, and she was just sharing about some of the experiences that she's having at school. And, you know, they've got these, they're starting to, she's in fifth grade, so cliques are, boom, full force. Here we go, girls. They are all starting to kind of create these little tribes around the newest trends of culture. And she's sharing with me about, you know, these people, they know the, you know, they all they care about is Taylor Swift. And all they do is they talk about Taylor Swift. And I said, well, you can listen to Taylor Swift if you want to. Do you want to listen to that? She's like, no, I'd rather listen to worship music. All right, that's fine with me. You can do that too. Like, that's totally fine. And then she says, well, then these other kids, they have all these slang terms in them. And she's going, and she's dumping for like an hour and a half just about how she doesn't fully fit in with the culture of this world. And I let her continue going for about an hour and a half. And then at the end, and she's so sad, she's really down, and she's feeling frustrated by it, the fact that she's not keeping up with culture. And I'm here to tell you, I am not willing to raise my child, to raise any of my children, to engage in the rat race of culture, of what culture is supposed to look like, taste like, smell like, and feel like. And so I wait for her to finish, and I said, you know what, sweetheart, I am so proud of you. I said, I've got one question for you. Do you want to change the world? Yeah. And she's like, yes, I want to change the world, Dad. And I said, in order to change the world, you're going to look very different than it.
Yeah, that's so good.
You can't change something unless you are something that is actually different. How can you change what you already are? If you're just partaking in what is, then how do you change that? And I started telling her this story. I think it was Amy Simple McPherson who was, and she's going on about how women need to be able to be leaders and be strong leaders. Why do men rule the world? And she's going on and on and on about all this. And I said, well, sweetheart, let me tell you a story about Amy Simple McPherson. She was born in a time period where it was not normal at all for women to be pastors. Not only that there was no Christian radio stations that took place at that time. And as a woman, she was the first woman to create a Christian radio station. And then she built this beautiful place, this beautiful church in Los Angeles. And Hollywood actually marveled at the beauty of her craft so much that they went to her church to learn how to do Hollywood sets. See, I believe that there's a time coming when the world is actually going to start asking the church for solutions once again. But I feel like what's different this time is instead of get-rich-quick schemes, instead of how to do life better, the only answer we're going to have is Jesus Christ. And so the world is coming to this girl, this woman that did not fit in the culture of her time, but was actually a pioneer of the culture of her time. She didn't succumb to it, so much so that when she was a child, she just didn't fit in. And I'm starting to tell her these stories about Amy Simple McPherson as a child. And she was part of the Salvation Army. And people made fun of her for it. They called her names. And she was kind of ostracized from the group, from the community, because she wasn't keeping up with culture. And so one day, Amy Simple McPherson, she was fed up with people making fun of her. So what she did, she decided to embrace who she was. She went home and she built a shield and she made this little fake sword thing, and she got out onto the playground and she started marching around and started chanting of the fact that she was part of the army of God, that she is part of the army of the living God. And as she continues to chant this chant, pretty soon the entire class started following after her, chanting the chant that they were part of the army of the living God. You see, we're so consumed with being relevant in our culture that we're actually not leading people anywhere. But what we need is a group, a community of people that are so confident in who they are in Christ that they actually have something to truly offer this world. That they are so comfortable with being outside of the norm, that they are so comfortable with being outside of their latest critic, that they are so comfortable with hearing only the voice of their Father. And living more for his approval than the approval of man. Now, this is a difficult thing for us. It sounds great in theory, but we live in a fallen world. We live in a society that is constantly telling us to look a certain way, to act a certain way, to be somebody in a certain way. And it's very difficult, but I believe that the Lord is calling his church to new assignments in this next season, to create within us the strength that is needed to stand firm in who it is that God has called us to be. You know, Rachel and I, in the past, I think it started in about the end of August or so, right around the time that our kids went back to school. We started feeling like there was transition coming in our lives. And we didn't know what exactly that was at the time, to be honest. And now, I'm going to tell you, when you're feeling like it's a time to transition, the last thing you want to do is start to reason it out. So we start thinking, man, and how we knew we were in a time of transition is that it just felt like we weren't fitting in our clothes anymore. You know, it kind of felt like post-vacation. It was like, this isn't comfortable anymore. It kind of felt like life, just the way that we were doing it, was not sustainable. And we actually found ourselves saying to each other over and over again, look, something's got to change. We can't do this anymore. We can't continue to live life at this pace or in this way. We've lived a very busy, full life for a very long time. That's not the problem of being busy. The problem is being outside of what it is that God has called us to do. And that's what we were starting to feel. Not that we needed to just slow down for the sake of slowing down, but that what we're doing, it's taking us more effort than what is actually necessary. And so we started praying through this season of transition, and then we started reasoning it out. I mean, we had everything under the sun of every good idea that we could do, everything from selling everything and going on a cruise for a year. You know, that's probably the best option. That's what the Lord was calling us to. I think we're missing it still, potentially. You know, it's like when what happens is we get inside of our human mind and we start to figure things out, when the Lord is actually in the middle of transition, is actually calling us to him. You see, every time in Scripture that great transitions happened, they are usually preceded by a wilderness season of life. And if we actually believe that we're being called, that we're given new assignments, that there is something new that is coming our way, then in order for us to do that, we need to be like Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. He says this, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. You see, in order to actually receive what it is that the Lord has for us, sometimes he doesn't tell us until we're willing to leave what he told us before. He was in the land with his family, but in the middle of transition, when things seem so confusing, oftentimes we actually don't understand where it is that he is taking us until he leads us away from what was. And so as I'm going through this inner transition in my life, trying to figure out what it is that God is saying, I started praying this prayer over and over again. Lord, I hold loosely the things that were and the things that you have to come. I want my hands to be open, not only with what it is that you have for me, but what it is that you have already given me. You see, many times when we're facing a time of transition in our lives, we want something new, but we want that to fit into the way that we're doing life currently. But Jesus addresses this in Matthew chapter 9. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 9, verse 16. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. Jesus at this point is addressing the disciples of John. They came to him, and they're asking him, hey, why don't your people fast? And what they're saying is, why don't your people do what we've always done before? And Jesus has this response to them. He's saying, look, in order to get into the new, you need to let go of that which was old. You see, when we're in the middle of a transition, when we're moving through our lives from one thing into another thing, we can't just take that new thing and try to put it into the way we live life. It would be like, if, for example, I'm in the restaurant industry, and let's say the Lord says, hey, Matthew, I want you to start building rockets. Now, can you imagine if I went into my kitchen? All right, guys, I need you to clear that corner. We've got rockets to build.
That wouldn't go over well. I actually have a former employee here that probably wouldn't have been very cool in that kitchen, especially, right? No, not at all. You see, in order for us to actually walk into what it is that God has for our lives, not only is it a new assignment, but a new structure often needs to be changed. You cannot take the new wine and put it into the old wineskin because that wineskin will burst. It will not house. And it actually says so that both are preserved, not only for the promise to be fulfilled, but for your life to actually continue on. You see, when we try to keep the things that were in the same way that they were and walk into the new thing that God has for us, it will crush us if we are not willing to let go of that which was. And so I've been going through this process in my heart. I'm just being really honest with you guys. I'm sharing my journey of what's going on in my life right now. I've been going through this process and asking the Lord, God, the things that were in the old season, the things that I'm living in now and the things that you're wanting me to move into, many of those things are what you have called me to. You see, this is where it gets difficult. These were promises that God gave to me. This is the way that I have built my life according to his following in that season. But we need to be willing that when seasons change, to be willing to hear a fresh word for what is to come. You see, when we go through a wilderness process, when we go through transition, everything about us starts getting tested. I believe that there are many in this church right now that are in the middle of a wilderness season, and the purpose of it is to tune you to hearing his voice. You see, Jesus, after he is baptized and the Holy Spirit comes upon him, the Bible says that he was then led out into the wilderness to be tempted. And everything that Jesus was tempted in are things that you and I will be tempted in seasons of transition. You see, the first thing that the devil says to him, he had just gotten done fasting for 40 days. The devil says, hey, I see you're hungry. Why don't you turn that stone and make it into bread? You see, when we're in the middle of transition, our resources will be tested. The things that were safe for us, the things that we were used to, will be tested to know whether or not we're willing to trust the Lord through the wilderness or if we want to retreat back to Egypt. This was the issue with the Israelites. They were going through this transition process. They were in Egypt, a place of captivity, a place of bondage, and were called to go out to the promised land. And as they go through the wilderness, the Lord says, I'm going to give you manna, but you have to trust me on a daily basis. This manna spoils every single day. On the sixth day, I'll give you double, though, so that on Sabbath you have enough. See, the second that they heard that they had to start trusting the Lord in a new way, all of a sudden, the mirage of the wilderness started showing up. When they realized that they had to start trusting God in a way that they had never trusted him before, bondage started looking like paradise. And they started saying and complaining to Moses, Moses, why did you take us out here to die? Why did you take us out here to die? Look, they were all excited. They were in bondage before, but all of a sudden, that which was started looking like paradise for them. You see, I believe in order for us to walk into this next season that God has for us, we all individually need to be okay with fully letting go that which was. In order to walk through a wilderness season, we need to know what the Lord is saying right now. Not what he's going to say tomorrow, and not even what he said yesterday, but what is he saying right now? You see, we can either focus on the mirage of the past. That place was bondage. But for whatever reason, when we get in the middle of wilderness, it looks like heaven. There's something about the past, the good old days that we talk about, that look, they are glorious because today is so difficult. And I'm saying do not give up through the process. Do not shortcut the process. Do not let what it is that the Lord is doing in your life to be shortchanged, to cause you to stay in the middle of a wilderness season for much longer than what is necessary. This is something that I was feeling in my heart through this transition that I'm going through, like, Lord, but I had an idea of what my life was supposed to look like. I had an idea
based on the words that you gave me on what it was that I was supposed to do with my life. And he says to me, look, Matthew, are you going to trust me today, though? Are you going to trust me tomorrow? One day at a time, are you going to let that which was actually pass? We have no idea what's coming in the promised land. And honestly, I don't think we will unless we're fully willing to let go of that which was behind us. The next thing that that Jesus was tested in was safety and his trust in God. The devil says to him, hey, why don't you throw yourself off of this mountain? And the angels, they'll catch you. He says, look, I will not test the Lord my God. Everything that we believe about who God is and his love for us will be tested in the middle of a wilderness season. And then the last thing that he's tempted with, he says, look at all of these nations of the earth. He brings Jesus up to a high mountain, and the devil says to Jesus, look at all of these nations of the earth. If you bow down to me, I will give them to you. The last thing that will be tested through your wilderness season is your reputation and your identity. You see, Jesus actually came for that purpose. Jesus knew that every knee will bow to him, but he needed to go through it in the right way. He knew his purpose there on the earth was to take those keys back so that every nation would come under the rule of his government. But the devil wanted to give him a shortcut to that way. And when we're in the middle of a wilderness season, all we want to do is try to get ourselves out of it. And whatever it looks like is the easiest path of least resistance in order that we can be fulfilled once again in the calling that God has for us. You see, but the wilderness, it's meant to separate us. It's meant to cut our hearts off from everything that we thought which was, everything we thought we were, to bring us only to his voice. You see, the wilderness season comes with it a radical dependency on his voice. Moses, in the beginning, when they exit Egypt, he's to strike a rock so that the children of Israel would have water. Later on, right before he was supposed to enter into the promised land, the Lord tells him, speak to that rock. And Moses decides to strike it again in anger instead. It's the exact same thing, but done in two different ways. When you're in the wilderness, the things that used to work no longer work anymore. And this can be really frustrating. We can feel like we're in the middle of two lives. We remember the things that were, and we wish they were still like that. We remember the good old days. We remember how they were. And at the same time, we see the promised land. And if we try to get into the promised land doing the same thing that we were doing in the beginning, we're never going to see that promise fulfilled. You see, I believe that God is breaking our hard-headedness down. He's breaking mine down. If I'm only preaching to myself, I'm okay with that because this is what's happening in my life right now. The way that I thought I was supposed to do life is going to look very different in the future. And in order for me to go and to do that, I cannot try to do it the same way that I always did. I cannot use the same methods that I always used before. Because we are in a time of serious transition, not only in our lives individually, but as a nation and as a world. Since COVID happened, the world got turned upside down. Nobody knows which way is up or down. And people need to hear the voice of the Lord in this time. The only way, though, that we can be those that are tuned to his voice, that are not listening to the popular opinions of culture at the time, is for each of us to get into that wilderness and to stand face to face with God. You see, it's in the wilderness that giant killers are born. In order for us to get into what it is that God has for us, we do not want to shortchange this process. Because it is here that we get vision to see the promised land. When all of a sudden our vision goes from just every problem in front of us and over it into the promise. Joshua and Caleb were born in the wilderness. When they went and they visited the land, the promised land with the spies, all the other spies saw the problems that were in their way. In order for us to get out of this wilderness mentality, we need to quit staring at problems as if they are too big for our God. And we need to be captivated by vision. for what he has for us in this next time. You see, David, he is just a shepherd boy out in the wilderness alone with God. But he is the only one that when Goliath comes and it is taunting the armies of Israel, that has the courage to stand up and say, no, 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 not my God. You're not going to talk about my God like that. And the thing is, David didn't use conventional methods of war. He was given a sword. He was given an armor. He said, no, man, I learned in the wilderness. I know that this may be how the rest of the world does things, but in the wilderness, I use a sling. See, it's in the wilderness that we get trained in the weapons of our warfare for what is to come ahead of us. And I'm here to tell you, do not let the wilderness be cut short. Do not be caught in the middle of it for too long, but let it have its perfect work in your life. As painful as it is the only thing that is going to give you the sling that is needed to defeat the giant in the next season. You see, it's in the wilderness that where there is trouble, that there is actually hope for what is to come. It's in the wilderness season that giant killers are born. It's in the wilderness season that people like Michelangelo, like William Wilberforce, people that were living outside of what culture said you were supposed to do at that time, are birthed. People that are not willing to just submit to culture's most popular opinion at the time, but are willing to listen to the voice of the Lord and the voice of the Lord alone. See, even Jesus, this was in the transition. As I mentioned earlier, when he was brought out into the wilderness to be tested, it was the transition of his private to public ministry. It was the moment from the time that he was baptized and anointed by the Holy Spirit to the point that he actually went public with his ministry before his death. It was preceded by a wilderness. I believe that there are many of us, myself included, that have wanted more of the Lord in our lives. And then when he says what he has for us, or maybe he doesn't say, but leads us into what he has for us, we're holding so hard on that which was. Yeah. And we're holding so hard that it's pulling us apart. We feel confused. We feel unsure about what's ahead. But how many of you know we serve a good dad? Yeah. When I was in Italy, this is the word that the Lord spoke to me when I was talking to him about the season that I find myself in, where it just feels confusing, where I'm unsure of what's going on, being led daily by his voice, trying to find people that can hear him for me. Like, what is happening, Lord? And he says this in Hosea chapter 2, verse 15, I will return her vineyards to her. Whew. And transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. She will give herself to me there as she did long ago when she was young, when I freed her from her captivity in Egypt. You see, it's in trouble. It's in that wilderness valley that we find ourselves in that first love will come back again. That fire that we had when we once had before, when the things that we have built in our lives, the monuments to God, the things that we honestly are proud of even, it's not only our failures that we leave behind, as difficult as that is. It's more difficult to leave that which is successful behind because we have found our identity in those things. And if we find our identity in those things, we will be stuck in the middle of the wilderness. I'm telling you, as the wilderness does its process, as North Americans, we don't like that word. We don't like process. We don't like slow. We want things answered and we want it now. But the wilderness has a process and it is meant to tune you. It's meant to give you heavenly perspective again. It's meant to take you out of the bondage of the last season. Though it may look like it was a mirage, it was not all roses and daisies. There was pain that was in that last season. It's meant to free you from that pain and bring you into a promised land. Yes, there's going to be giants. Yes, it's going to be difficult. But you're going to have eyes to see past that, and you're going to have a sling in your hand. You're going to have the tools to be equipped to actually conquer Goliath in the next season. You see, David, then he was in the wilderness. He goes, he conquers Goliath. He was anointed king at this point. He had already been anointed as king, but was not yet sitting in his position because he had another wilderness ahead of him. We're going to experience these wilderness realities through seasons of our lives as we transition from one thing to the next. David, once again, by Saul, was driven into the wilderness to be tested, to prove to the Lord that his heart was fully his. See, it was in the wilderness that we read these psalms. There are so many of these beautiful psalms that we find hope in. These were written in the wilderness. And if you're trying to escape the difficulties that you find yourselves in right now, I'm here to ask, maybe it's part of God's process for your life. If you're trying to get out of the things that are so hard to deal with, that are in front of you right now, maybe it's just part of the wilderness. It's not to set up camp there, it's to travel through. Wilderness was never a place to live in forever. No, that it is in that place that a door of hope is going to be opened up to you. I feel like there's people in this place that have had callings, have had giftings, have had things in their lives that the Lord had given them. And they know that there's a change that's coming, but just don't know what that's supposed to look like yet. I would like you to close your eyes and open your hands. I want us to prophetically let go of that which was behind. Because winds of change are blowing, and in order for us to be ready for that, we need to have the sails of our heart prepared to catch it. Everything that was, the good and the bad, we open up our hands and we give to you this morning, Jesus. Our reputation, our trust in our resources, and even our understanding of your love for us. God, everything that is built in the past, we give that wineskin to you, Lord, and we receive the new. We go through this wilderness time ready, willing, and able for the process to have its good work in us so that we would be tuned to your voice. Let us not shortcut our way into our destiny. But God, give us courage so that we can be those that stand apart, that do not submit to culture, but actually lead culture into hope, that do not submit to the anxiety of this time, but actually be a voice of peace in this chaotic world. God, give us the blueprints of heaven in this season. We're asking for your voice, that you would turn it up, that the voices of confusion, that the voices of frustration, that the voices of the demonic forces that are trying to influence our lives would be silenced. And that your voice would be all that we hear. God, we hold loosely this season that we are in. We hold loosely the last season that we are in. And we hold even more loosely, God, the season that we are walking into. In the middle of the chaos, there is a voice that has hope. There is a voice that has peace. There is a voice that has love. There is a voice that has clarity. Tune us to your voice, Jesus. Tune us to your voice, King Jesus. God, we say we are ready. And the areas that aren't, Lord, crucify them. Crucify those areas of our lives, Jesus, that we are holding back from you because we're nervous about what's to come. See, there's peace. Whether it was good or bad, it doesn't really matter. There's peace in knowing a way of life. There's safety in the way that things always were. But it's important to remember that in the desert, it's just a mirage. Yeah. It's just a mirage. And the hope is that though the pain of the past of letting that go is great, the future is so much brighter. As I said, it's in this valley of trouble that there is hope. There is a purpose that is greater than anything you could have even imagined when you get lined up with hearing the voice of the Lord for your life. when you get more in tune with the plan that Jesus has than your own plan. It's filled with hope. It's filled with life. It's filled with peace. There is no place that is safer than at the foot of Jesus. So though the wilderness is difficult, though it can be strange and don't really know where to put our hope, where to put our trust, we don't have the words, we don't have the prophetic word to hope in, just like my mom preached a few weeks ago. True faith is not faith that's in a word that God spoke. It's faith in Him alone. And it's in this wilderness that we have to find a place to have faith in Him alone. Not in a word, not in our resources, not in our safeties, not in our comforts, not even in our own identity of who we think we are supposed to be, but in Him and Him alone. That was usually when we close, but I feel like that there are people in here that just need to let the weight off. Man, I'm with you. I know the feeling of how scary it is to walk through. These past 3 years have been probably the most difficult, not probably, it's by far the most difficult season of my life that I've ever walked through. We all remember what it felt like, how confusing it was when COVID happened. Though that's over, the effect of the virus isn't over, if you get what I'm saying. There was a peace and a comfort that we had as a community, as a people. This is just the American way that we live life. And when all of a sudden the way that we do life was shaken, we didn't know where to put our safety or our trust anymore. And in many ways, that sparked us all into a time of wilderness. Relationships were broken. People that we trusted, people that we walked with for years and years and years turned their backs on us. People that we thought were our best friends now became our greatest enemies. That which we thought was, we found out was not anymore. And that brings us into a place where then we don't know where to put our trust. We don't know how to let our minds rest. I was reading this book called The Non-Anxious Presence, and he believes that most of the anxiety that we feel as a society is not individual, but it's actually a communal anxiety of our inability to find safety in the season that we're in right now. But we as the church have a hope that's greater. We as the people of God have a safety that surpasses all understanding, all things of this world. If this is resonating with you at all, I want to invite you to come to the altar. See, I believe that in this season, there's things that were definitely stolen from you. But there were also things that had to go in order for you to get into the next. As hard as it is, the wilderness is one of the most beautiful places we get to live in. It's there where all man-made structures can't be found. It's in the wilderness that all that exists is the beauty that the Lord created. Whew. Show us the beauty in this wilderness season, Jesus. Show us the beauty, Jesus. Thank you for all heavy burdens to just roll off of every individual in this place, especially those that have come to the front. But I ask that you would wash over them. bring healing and refreshing. Lord, for the burdens of this life to be falling, to fall off of every person in this place. The burdens that this world has to offer are not meant for you to carry. Jesus' yoke is easy, his burden is light. Just let it go.